bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Live in Word with Pastor Mensah Otterbill. And now, today's word.
So what do we have to do to seize our kairos moment? How do we respond to that moment in our lives? I'm going to read a passage that describes something about David, and I'm going to take you to three important things that are crucial to access a kairos moment. First Chronicles chapter 12 verse 23. First Chronicles chapter 12 verse 23. Now, this passage talks about when David was not yet king, but was about to be made king. And the kinds of people who came around him to help him to become a king. All these people sensed that the seasons had changed. It had shifted from Saul to David. This was a David moment, not a Saul moment. And that's very important. You have to know when a Saul moment has shifted and you have a David moment. Because some of us are like Jonathan. We know the moment has changed. It's no longer Saul, it's David. But we'll follow Saul and die with Saul. Although we know the right thing, we never respond to the change of the seasons. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 23, and then we'll read 31 and 33. Now it says, now these were the numbers of the divisions that were equipped for war and came to David at Hebron to turn over the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord. I want you to underline the phrase, according to the word of the Lord. And then it describes all the various divisions, those who came with arms, with swords, with weapons, and so on and so forth. But somewhere in there, there's a description that is interesting. Now let's take it from verse 31. Of the half tribe of Manasseh, 18,000 who were designated by name to come and make David king. Verse 32. Note that. Of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, who knew to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. I want you to underline sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. They had understanding of the times. The sons of Issachar had understanding of the times. They could read the seasons and they knew that the seasons had changed. And they knew what needed to be done at every time when the seasons change. Verse 33. Of Zebulun, there were 50,000 who went out to battle, expert in war, with all weapons of war. I want you to understand, underline, expert in war with all weapons of war. Expert in war with all weapons of war. Stout-hearted men, underline that. Stout-hearted men who could keep ranks. That phrase, stout-hearted men, means courageous men, courageous people. I'm going to just focus on three important factors that help us to access a kairos moment. The first one is the prophetic word. The prophetic word. It's in verse 23. The Bible says they came to make David king according to the word of the Lord. According to the word of the Lord, there is a prophetic declaration. Something God has spoken. David is going to be king. And these people recognize that the moment had come. And they could recognize that prophecy or the prophetic word. What does a prophetic word do? First, it reveals the intentions of God. Whatever God wants to do, he talks to us about it. We don't know his thoughts from the end to the beginning, but he reveals his thoughts to us at every stage in our lives. A word in season. A word that is specifically directed to our condition and our situation. It reveals the intentions of God. Secondly, the prophetic word captures the promise and possibilities of the future. Anytime you hear a word that is pregnant with significance about what the future holds, that word captures tomorrow and packages it for you. It captures the promise and possibilities of the future. Thirdly, the prophetic word stretches your faith to accommodate God's promise. It stretches your faith. Tomorrow, about this time, an impossible situation is going to become possible. What inflation is going to reduce? That's what was told in the days of Elisha. Elisha prophesied to the Samaritan king, tomorrow by this time, things are going to change. To the mind, it's an impossibility. But to God, all things are possible. And that's why a prophetic word doesn't always make sense, because it will stretch your faith. It's not going to give you something that is easy for you to accommodate and easy for you to accept. It's going to show you something that you cannot achieve except with God. It's an impossibility. But because you hear it and you believe it, it stretches your faith. And your faith stretches to be able to accommodate the promise of God. Thirdly, a prophetic word instructs you with wisdom for your assignment. Within that same word are guidelines, principles, concepts, ideas that helps you to fulfill your assignment. So for your charis moment, you need a prophetic word. When Peter was in that charis moment, why did he tell the man who was crippled, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give you, in the name of Jesus, rise up. Why could he do that? Because before Jesus Christ left, he said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall heal the sick. So at that time, he recognized that the moment for the fulfillment of that scripture had come. He was face to face with a situation that would demand a release of what had been spoken. The prophetic word became real. It became flesh. The first thing that is needed to seize a charis moment is the prophetic word. Secondly, in a charis moment, you need understanding of the times. The sons of Issachar in verse 32, the Bible says they had understanding of the times and knew what Israel ought to do. Ought to do. What you have to do. What you must do. Not what people want you to do. Not what you want to do. But what you have to do. Because sometimes what you have to do is not the same as what you want to do. So what does it mean to have understanding of the times? And the people who have understanding of the times, what do? They recognize moments of prophetic significance. They recognize that this is the moment. This is it. This is my moment. This is my time. I don't know whether it's ever happened to you before where something happens and you just know that you know that you know that you know that you know without any shadow of doubt that this is your moment. And when you get to those levels, you have such a robust faith that doubt evaporates from your mind. Because you know this is the moment. This is what God has been speaking to me about. This is the moment I've been praying for all my life. And the moment has come. You have to have understanding of the times. Understanding of the times brings the future promise into the present reality. A prophecy speaks about the future. But when you understand the times, you bring what is in the future into the current, into present reality. You know that it's no longer it shall be, but now it is, and it is happening right before your eyes. Thirdly, understanding of the times helps you to relate your preparations and abilities to current opportunities. for such a time as this. Esther, I'm sure, was wondering why she won the beauty contest. How can a foreigner go to, not just a foreigner, but a person from a conquered tribe, most likely a slave, go to stand for a beauty contest to be elected as queen of the conquering nation? First and foremost, is something that no right-thinking person would do. But it happened. She stepped into it. She won it. And she was wondering, why was I elected? Until a situation came that needed her intervention. When I look at things that happen around the world, look for example at what has happened in the United States of America with the candidacy of a Kenyan, Barack Obama. I mean, yes, nobody ever, up until this year or last year, nobody ever thought anybody with black blood in them could be president of America. Nobody in their right mind. Nobody. No American, no Ghanaian, no Kenyan, no British. Nobody ever thought it would be possible. Because everybody says, Americans will never allow it. America, yeah, you can't rise that far. There's racism. Oh, if you are black, they never give you opportunity. Oh, it will never happen. Oh, these people, do you think they'll give you the chance? Oh, these people, do you think they'll give you the chance? Oh, these people don't give you the chance. Oh, these people, oh, these people, oh, these people. Everybody has been so much fixated on these people and what they will never allow anybody to do until one skinny boy who 4 years ago was an assemblyman, the equivalent of an assemblyman in America. State senator, assemblyman. That's what he was. 4 years ago, he was an assemblyman. Then, 4 years later, he's running for president. It doesn't make sense. When others have been running, Jesse Jackson, run, Jesse, run, Jesse. He's run so many times, he didn't have any chance. Big black leaders, Louis Farrakhan, everybody. And then this guy, nobody knew him 4 years ago, assemblyman, but this time almost becoming president. Why? Because something changed in the atmosphere, but nobody recognized it. Nobody recognized it. People were talking racism, and they didn't know that the American society had changed. That racism of the past had changed now. Because the young people of America, who are the young people who are voting and crying Obama, black people went to white people's school. White people went to black people's school. And they have forgotten that in 1962, 1963, a black man declared a prophetic word. His name was Martin Luther King. And he said, I have a dream that one day, black children, white children, will walk in this nation and people will not be judged by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. It was a dream. And later on, people fought and people said, there is racism. It will never happen. But this skinny Kenyan boy, whose father probably even just went to abandon him and didn't think much about him, somehow believed that he had come to the kingdom for such a time as this. So when people were saying, it's impossible, it's impossible, it's impossible, he said, yes, we can, yes, we can, yes, we can. And all of a sudden, what was conceived as impossible is happening right before our eyes. And the white people that people said would never vote for a black person are voting for him. In the same way, Africans will say, they will never give us a chance. The world will never give us a chance. The world will never give us a chance. They will never, the Americans, they will never give us a chance. My friends, let's read the weather again. Let's have a discernment of the times. Maybe the times have changed, but we are still talking Kwame Nkrumah's language. Maybe the times have changed, but we are fighting old battles. And we are stuck in the past when the reality is today a new door has been opened. The song has changed. The title of the song has changed. We are being given a new melody and we have to change our dance to accommodate the new music. we have to seek the Kairos moment. The times when Africans said, Africans cannot prosper. The whole world is against us. Nobody wants us to prosper. They will never give us a chance. Can't you see that a few years ago, our own Ghanaian was head of the United Nations? Can't you see that the times have changed? Can't you see that the opportunity has changed? It's changed. But we are singing the same old song, fighting the same old battle, colonialism, neocolonialism, imperialism, all the isms. That was Nkrumah's battle. That was the battle of the past. The times have changed. Seize the Kairos moment. Seize the moment. There's no time as this for Ghanaians to own businesses all over the world. The time for foreigners investing and we just becoming a destination for investment is over. The times have changed. Stop thinking colonialism. Stop thinking slavery. Stop thinking impossibility. Stop thinking we cannot do it. Stop thinking nobody will give us a chance. The song has changed. A new door is open. And you have to seize your Kairos moment. Tell your neighbor, seize your Kairos moment. Tell another person, seize your Kairos moment. Thirdly, in your Kairos moment, you need courageous response. The people of Zebulun, the Bible says they were stout-hearted. Stout-hearted. When I read the Bible, I read it sometimes in pictures. I can almost imagine what makes the Bible describe them as stout-hearted. I think they were very stocky people. Stocky muscle with thick necks. Eyes red. The kind of people you can't push back. You push them back, they are coming. You push them back, they are coming. You say it's not possible, they are coming. Nothing stops them from moving forward. If you're going to seize your Kairos moment, you have to be stout-hearted. You have to be courageous. Because you have to know this door has been opened. And nobody is going to tell me to get back. For that to happen, you have to have boldness to act in spite of the present danger. The Kairos moment always comes with danger. It comes with danger. It comes with risks. It comes with challenges. It comes with difficulties. But you have to act. And you have to be bold. It's time for us to dream big in this country. I just want to see Ghanaians dreaming big. A few years ago, the Chinese were a liability in the world. The Indians, if you want to talk about poverty, India symbolized poverty. Now India is competing with America. By the year 2015, China will be at par with the United States of America in economic strength. The Chinese, who had no food but rice, they are going to be on par with the U.S. in 2015. And after that, they overtake the U.S. It's not only China. It's also Africa's time. It's also Africa's time. And the Africans must change their music. And they must change their language. And they must sing a new song from the citizens right to the politicians. They have to change their song. And they have to talk a new language. We have to act boldly in spite of present danger. It's the ability to deploy all your skills and energies towards your God-given assignment. When your Kairos moment comes, you don't hold anything back. You don't hold anything back. It's total manpower, skill power deployment. Deploying all your energies. You don't hold back. It's full commitment. Because this is your moment. If the moment passes, you may never have another moment like this again. Who knows? Africa may not have this moment again for many years to come. The Chinese took the advantage. The Indians are taking the advantage. We also have to start taking our Kairos moment. You have to deploy all your energies. And you have to make a commitment to remain steadfast till victory is won. We have to make that commitment. When your Kairos moment comes, you don't do anything by halves. You don't do trial and error. Try your luck. See if it will work. You just test the waters. You don't test the waters. You dive into the waters. You dive into the waters. You say, if I die, I die. If I perish, I perish. If I drown, I drown. But this is my moment and I'm going to dive. There are people who always say, be careful, oh. You may drown, oh. It may not work, oh. They are the indifferent generation. They can't be fully committed and passionate about anything. If we say we are developing Africa, we have to develop Africa. I am waiting for a government or a president, whoever, who will set a deadline and say, in next year's budget, we are not having any foreign donor support for our budget. Next year's budget is going to be totally Ghanaian, and we are going to build our own budget. People say, if you do that, you will drown. Yes, that's what a Kairos moment stands for. You take the leap and see what will happen. You see, if you're always going to be careful, you'll never do anything great. I remember when we were going to start Central University, every counsel we receive says, you can't. But we just decided we're going to dive. Nobody has done it. Why not? Let's be the first. And we dived. And we started. And others copied. Did we have the money? No. Did we have the lecturers? No. Did we have a place? No. We actually were applying when we didn't even have a place to put any university. Now we are building a major campus. It doesn't just happen. Somebody must recognize it. This is a Kairos moment. If you miss this moment, you may miss it forever. If I perish, I perish. If it doesn't work, I will know it doesn't work. When Peter said, silver and gold have I none, he had erased all options. He could have said, oh, I have some silver and gold, so if it doesn't work, you get silver and gold and I go. He said, silver and gold have I none. And everybody's looking at him. But such as I have, give you. John, have we done this before? No. Peter, have you done it before? No. But such as I have, give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise. Now the man could have sat and said, I can't rise. He could. And people would have said, you people, you said Jesus was resurrected. Look, you can't just do this miracle. And that would have been the end of Christianity. But he dived into the sea. He jumped into the ocean. He said, such as I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And the Bible says he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And the man, walking and leaping and praising God, went to tell about the works of God. My friends, discover your Kairos moment. That moment may pass. But when that moment comes, and you know this is the moment God has been talking to me about, this is what I've been praying about, this is what all the past prophecies were telling me about, when that time comes, no excuses. Jump in. And God will hold you up by his word. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otebi, like his page on Facebook, follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otebi, email otterville@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.